$19 billion in crypto liquidations. How Trump's 100% China tariff threat triggered the biggest crash ever. You can see all the liquidations. It was absolutely insane. Like I said, I've never quite seen anything like it in the crypto market.
Fox News alert, ecstatic Israelis celebrating President Trump as he heads to the Middle East later today for tomorrow's signing of his historic ceasefire as the remaining hostages are set to finally be released from Hamas terrorists.
They have a problem in England with people coming across, you know, the water and just invading the country. To solve the problem instead, they're just going to have everybody have a digital identity. That way, you'll know if they're a British citizen or not. You know, there's an easier way to solve this. I don't know. No, you just stop the illegal immigration. You would send people back. You do that. You do that. No.
One of the things I think about is digital ID. Our Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, reckons, of course, that we're going to have this thing mandatory because he wants to clamp down on illegal migration. If you believe that, you believe anything, quite frankly.
To Resistance Chicks. I'm one of your hosts, Michelle. Welcome to Godzilla Acre. I am surrounded by nature, by woodlands, and lots of chirping birds. They're so loud in my ear, I can hear them. Can you hear them? It's Sunday, which means we're going to bring you this week's world news. I thought about canceling today's show because our schedule is so jam-packed. So then I made the decision, no, we'll just push it back 45 minutes. 45 minutes turned into an hour and 7 minutes. I'm so sorry that we are so tardy, but hey, it's better to be here than not to be here and not have a world news show at all. Today's show is going to consist of more topics of the digital ID. I have to tell you, I'm terrified of this. Lee and I were taking a dog walk yesterday, and I said to her after watching, it was late last night, I was watching Whitney Webb on Glenn Beck. We're going to play a little bit of that today. And she lays out a scenario that I thought, oh my gosh, like people might actually go for that. So I asked Leah, I said, do you think that there are enough people that would go along with a digital ID like the jab? And Leah said, no, actually, I don't. Not here in the U.S. We also have to look at the fact that the U.K. is not the U.S. I know a lot of you guys in the U.K. pushed back on lockdowns. You pushed back on the mandates and all of the things. But in the U.K., I'm just not sure. Leah posed this idea. She said, Michelle, do you really think that Nigel Farage would go along with it? Because of his party, and they've made a big, huge stance against the digital ID. And I'm like, okay, I think that Nigel, pre being in parliament, would definitely say no. Post being in parliament, I'm not sure. Because if they threaten him with the idea that if you don't comply with digital ID, you can't be a member of parliament anymore, I'm not sure. I don't know. I love Nigel, but I'm just not sure that he would have, you know, have it in him to stand up against that. Also, we have seen the world's largest crypto crash.
Historically, yeah.
It is. Now, it's funny to say, like, in historic, like, because crypto's not that old.
Yeah.
Okay, but since crypto has been around the last, like, what, 15, 20 years, it's the biggest crash that has ever been seen.
Yeah, and you're gonna see, I noticed I couldn't really find a lot of good commentary on it because the only people talking about it are the people in it. And what is the main thing about Fight Club?
Whoa.
You never leave Fight Club.
Hang on, I feel like I lost audio. Maybe not. Okay.
You can't, if you have ever been in crypto, you're not allowed to leave. You can only bring in new recruits because even if you pretend like you like leaving or something, you'd have to pretend because the whole idea of crypto is it's held up. It's a Ponzi scheme. If every
people left Mary Kay, there wouldn't be any more Mary Kay. And I don't even know if Mary Kay exists anymore. Okay.
They do, actually.
Well, I haven't been to a party.
I don't think that people are doing parties anymore, but it does exist.
So, but the crypto guys are all like making, you know, videos like, I sold everything, just kidding. And then like the one thing, what is the one of the big t-shirts that they have out there? It's HDL, hold. Always hold. Yeah. Always
on your
hold.
Crypto?
Yeah. You never sell.
Right.
Never sell. You only hold.
Right.
Okay. You're only supposed to get out every once in a while when you need a little bit of money, and you're just supposed to watch it. You know, there's a lot of like long-term people in, like I'm in it for the long term. And you know, I am very, 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 suspicious of the Trump kids, specifically, Eric and, the little one, because they're into
Junior.
No, the little one,
Baron.
Yeah. So Baron is super crypto guy.
Okay.
And Eric and this whole family was behind a big pump and dump Trump. They call them SHIT coins. I don't want to call them that.
Really? Who does?
Oh, you haven't heard of them?
No.
Anything that's not like, there's, okay, so.
I actually agree with the term, not actually using the curse word, but I believe that's what they are.
So when you hear crypto guys explaining this event.
Okay.
They'll say, yes, the main bit. So crypto is not just Bitcoin. Okay.
Right, exactly.
It's
that's
made
like
up
saying
of,
all soda is Coca-Cola.
Yeah. It's made up of what some people call like stable coins.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you would call the bad, you know, the poop coins. Okay. Now those are going to be like your Doge coins, right? The Trump meme coins. They don't mean anything. They don't do anything. They're not fungible in like going to the store or something. Now there's a lot of places that do take crypto. Banks are taking them, but they don't take them all.
Right.
Okay. You can't just like make up your own meme coin. Say that they're such and such a value, and then go to the bank,
right?
And then start depositing that money, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not how crypto works. And so a lot of people are in crypto, and a lot of people are, you know, in what you would call the stable coins.
Yeah.
Those are just the guys that have been around the longest. All of crypto coins are all made up.
Yeah.
Okay. The idea that they are going up or down in value is just like for the dollar. It should not be going up or down.
Yeah.
The guy who supposedly the person that nobody can talk to, that nobody knows exists, who created this crypto coin, and you can still mine them and they're still out there, and it takes a tremendous amount of electricity to quote unquote find one of these Bitcoins. And you've got like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And
got
you know,
golden ticket.
So you've got like China and all these other places spending a gargantuan amount of electricity and computer waves to try to find more Bitcoin. And you know, I don't know how many more are out there, but Bitcoin itself did crash. It crashed. It went down historic numbers. There are just like in the stock market. And you may not know this, a lot of people over leverage themselves. They borrow to buy.
Yeah.
They don't have the money to buy the crypto coin. So what they're doing is they're hoping that Bitcoin, let's say, is $130,000, and they borrow to buy.
Right.
And then they have to pay that back if it goes down.
Right.
Okay. So one Ukrainian man who did committed suicide.
That's awful.
Okay. People are thinking he probably owed some people money, probably, you know, ran some accounts for other people.
Yikes.
It's a big thing in the Slavic countries.
Okay.
In Ukraine, Romania.
You said Ukraine?
Ukraine. In Ukraine, in Romania, in Russia even, and then obviously in like China and things like that. People around the world, everyone is trying to make a dollar without working.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to say, I want to, you know, I want this to go up. I want this to go up.
I've never thought about that. Like, I've never thought about how can I make money without doing work.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't.
Well, you know, it's all about investments. It's all about, you know, make your money work for you, you know.
But I'm not that person.
I know. Well, I mean, it's
you know why?
The essence of a savings account.
But it's not, because it, to me, it's the same thing as gambling. So I've never entertained the idea of, why don't I take this 20 and go bet it on, you know, Horseshoe Downs. Like, this is, that's, I was raised, can I say better? I don't know. I was raised better than to risk.
Well, technically, and I'm going to throw this out there for people just to let you know, because I'm open and transparent. The S&P 500 over time has tracked fairly well with inflation. If you were in the stock market and you stayed in the stock market and you kept, well, if you kept certain stocks in 2008, like P&G, that went down when we were doing it, it went down to like 60. I don't know where it's at right now, but
when you say we were doing it, describe that.
My grandma had,
we
stocks
did not
and
ever
we had
do
to
that.
Help
we had
her
to help
sell them. Set,
no, we had to help the estate.
Yeah.
Our corrupt uncle, not the one that lives with us. We had to work with it. That's not, we didn't do it.
Right. But we had
that, that's where we learned what
so
we
know.
So
we watched it go down. Yeah. And then we watched, like, my uncle's size a little bit. And I've watched a double since
and
then.
And it was heartbreaking. So I know Leah has a lot more to say on this, but I knew someone, I'm not friends with them anymore, who had invested in FTX, almost everything that they had, and they had a good amount.
Yeah.
And it was, when it was
gone,
his whole life went kaput. Mm-hmm. And it impacted thousands of people. His life going kaput impacted thousands of people. And he lost everything in FTX. And so everybody wants to tell me, like, Michelle, you don't understand. It's really not that big of a deal. It's not the same thing as gambling. It's a sure bet. It's not, okay, so if it's a sure bet, then what, it's still a bet. And it's not a sure bet. You can't tell me that when you have your money in the stock market, here's the thing, I will take it a step further. You can't tell me that when you have your money in the bank, it's a sure bet. And what's even worse is that when you have your money in the paper dollar, all of it, anything that is in the fake fiat category, it's what level of risk are you willing to take? Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's all a risk. And some people may say, Michelle and Leah, like, gold and silver is still a risk. No, it is not. And I'm going to tell you why. Because gold and silver is real money. Mm-hmm. Everything that is not gold and silver is the fake thing. So you can say, but if I buy silver at $50 while it's up and then it goes down to 35, then I've lost. Look, you're wrong. No. You're wrong, because anything that is not gold and silver is fake. And so what we're doing is we're basing the value of real money on paper money. No, we don't do that. That's not how life functions. Yeah, but Michelle, I have to function in the real world. That I get. You still have to. I still have to. We still all have to spend paper dollars in order to acquire goods. But in the long term, and I mean long term as in like in our lifetime, gold and silver is the thing that maintains its value. The paper dollar is only ever going to continue to crash and to go down. And these bitcoins, these digital currencies, are probably, to me, the most risk that you can like have. I mean, next to like high risk investments. And I just look at everybody and I'm thinking to myself, guys, like, I get it. You're desperate because times are bad and things are really scary out there. And it's hard to buy milk and bread and eggs and the whole nine yards. But so, if you're struggling to buy, if you're in the mindset of I'm struggling to buy milk and bread and eggs, then you're not in the candidacy to invest in crypto. So somewhere in your brain, you have it mixed up. Like, well, I'm just struggling and I have to invest in crypto because things are so bad. And I'm like, if things are so bad, then that's not, then you shouldn't be out there risking your finances with something that is not only evil,
okay, but so is the paper dollar. But is crypto is evil. It's in the word. Like, I just think of the Tales of the Crypt. Mm-hmm. It's death.
Yeah.
Okay. And it is, it's literal slavery. Like, the digital ID and digital currency go hand in hand. So if you can come on my show and be so against digital ID, but you're okay with crypto, mm-hmm. then you're not really against digital ID. You're not against a digital future at all. Mm-hmm. You're totally buying into it. And so I say all this with love, but we need to recognize when you are being brainwashed.
So Zero Hedge, and I just now checked Zero Hedge, tweeted out earlier today and said, this is the odds are that Trump will have a Sunday post after the great carnage I'm going to talk to you about. They posted this on October 10th at 5:57. Odds of Trump's Sunday evening post. Had a great call with China's wonderful President Xi Jinping, and our relations have never been better. Look forward to our meeting in 2 weeks. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
That was a predictive. Someone was like, this is what I think it's going to be. And then I'm guessing he literally.
Yeah. So on True Social, just mere minutes ago, Trump says, don't worry about China. It will all be fine.
Stop it.
Highly respected President Xi just had a bad moment. He doesn't want depression for his country, and neither do I. The USA wants to help China, not hurt it. President DJT.
So does that mean that we're not doing 100% tariffs?
We don't know yet. We don't know. But this is what this whole idea of this, the markets, the idea of the crypto, the idea, we did this back in April, right? Where there was panic sell-offs. And here's the thing, in these panic sell-offs that happened, and in the panic sell-offs that we're going to talk about with, crypto, people lost millions of dollars. Based on Trump's tariffs and Trump's tweets. Some of these lesser respectable ETFs and meme coins and things like that were wiped out. Some people will say, well, if you just stay in the market, you'll be fine. That's okay, unless you're like the example with my grandma, who had a third of her wealth in 2008 in GM and Ford. And she probably would have been the one who held on to the last breath. If she stayed alive, she would have stayed in to the last breath, to where GM and Ford went to zero and everybody lost all. And then they were bought by the government, and then they had to start over again. Okay. It went down to nothing, like zero, right? I think at one point, I think Matt was, he's like, yeah, I looked at GM at $3 and I thought maybe I should buy at the dip. you have Eric.
I think we had my uncle finally, we can finally convince him to sell at $8.
I think it was 11, 8 or 11. Yeah.
It was something crazy low.
Yeah. It was a lot. It was a huge loss. And what happened with a tweet from Trump caused people to lose millions and one guy to commit suicide. And we're just supposed to gloss over that and be like, everything just fine.
Don't worry about China.
These are real people. These are real lives. Okay. This, like we said on Friday, Trump is using people as pawns, and he doesn't care if you or I get wiped out. This is not the stocks are going down, stocks are going up. Don't worry about it. It's 60 today. It'll be 80 tomorrow. No big deal. That's not what's happening. People are losing. Now, some people stayed in. Some people left. And then the problem with gambling is you don't know when to pull out. And if you and the people who pull out lose, and then other people win. One guy, we don't know who he is, but you can follow crypto accounts. I got to find the exact number. Made hundreds of millions of dollars, opened an account right before Trump tweeted it out, made millions, and then like got out.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's so convenient.
I know.
So convenient for them.
I know, right? I know. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And we're also going to talk about the prisoner exchange on the Israeli side. They have Hamas prisoners.
Yeah.
And they will be exchanging terrorists for civilians who are hostages.
Right.
And that is supposed to happen anytime today through tomorrow. However, there was a bombing. I believe it's a bombing. I have to check this, keep my story straight, in Egypt of part of the an envoy in Egypt. I believe it was Qataris, and three people died. So this is a volatile situation still. And one of the hostages, Israeli hostages, whose mother committed suicide in 2023, his girlfriend and he were at the, there were all those people at that like Bohemian concert, right?
October 7th.
Right. No, but there was a concert.
Yeah,
it was all over Israel.
I know.
But then there was a group at a concert, like this Bohemian concert.
Right.
Little New Agey people. Okay. And they were dancing, singing, you know, Kumbaya. And then the soldiers parachuted in. Okay. Well, this particular young man got under a car with his girlfriend and they played Dead. Well, while the soldiers went past, the soldiers saw these supposedly dead people and shot them.
No.
And they killed his girlfriend under his arms and they shot him. And then they took him. I think they took him hostage and then he was released.
Wow.
And he committed suicide yesterday. No. He couldn't take the pain anymore. He set his own car on fire.
Oh my gosh.
So we are living in a world, and I don't want, that's why we kind of do the shows outside. because I want to live in a world where I get up every day and I feed my pigs and I feed my chickens and I see Mr. Augie get up in a chair. He's so cute. He's so cute.
You can probably turn the camera to see. You can see those dogs there.
Well, how many of you have dogs that sit in chairs? He's so funny. So I want to live in a world of dogs, that dogs that don't fight. But imagine you live with like dogs that did fight, and they fought and they bite, they fought to the death. Like, there's another world out there, and there are these protesters who, you know, are protesting for Palestine and for Hamas, and then you have Israel, who is actually trying to influence our government, and the entire right-wing political movement is divided between those who take money from Qatar and those who take money from Israel. And then there's the rest of us over here who, you know, don't get to take money from anybody, and nobody's called and asked me, and I haven't even been
you
bribed.
You keep being offended about that, and you wouldn't take it anyway.
I would love a phone call from Putin just to see.
From Putin?
Yeah, because I could honestly do some
Leah,
spots.
Leah.
I do advertising for Lynette because I believe in her. Okay? I already do some good spots on Putin. Okay? Yep. And I feel like I could do a little Russian advertising with honesty.
We're going to jail.
But I could not do.
We are going to go to jail.
Honest advertising for Qatar. Like that. I think that comes a little bit out of the blue. And by the way, let's party on the rooftop. Like one of this, I saw, I don't know who this representative woman is. She's one in Congress, but she spent the 4th of July. Laura Loomer tweeted it out that she spent 4th of July at the Qatari embassy in the United States partying on their rooftop. I love that embassies have rooftop parties, whatever, but she's drunk as a skunk with all these Qataris. And you know that like radical Islam does not allow these women, but if you got to buy them off, you got to buy them off, right? You got to allow the 60 plus year old woman to get drunk and dance on your rooftop. Married, by the way.
Can everybody just stop drinking? Like, I'm so serious about this. Like, it's so
Look at, I've got my Queen's Jubilee cup.
It's so embarrassing.
That somebody sent with a little tea bag in it.
Like, I come from a family on both sides of alcoholics. And
my mother.
And I
not my mother. Here's the thing. My mother's
family. Here's the thing.
Not my mother.
You may need to drink to drown your sorrows. I get that. Your life may be that miserable. And my heart breaks for people out there like that. Okay.
Listen, if you lost money with Bitcoin, I get it.
Nobody that is sober.
Soba.
Likes to be around
drunk people. Hey, no.
We don't like you. You're not fun. Mm-mm. You're annoying. You're like the little kid that like everybody is just like, will they stop?
And you think you're being funny because you're loose.
Like I can't with all the drinking. Like I don't understand. Even like in the Clay Clark scene, right? Mm-hmm. Leah and I, one time, I think.
Well, it's been twice.
It's been a couple times where we end up at these places where all of your favorites.
Michelle, it's been several.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking of the Dr. Eric Napudi's house, and I'm not blaming Eric on this. It's just.
But every time we go out to eat and everybody starts getting drinking, all
of your favorites, all of the doctors, all of the lawyers, all the people that you love, they all drink and I can't stand being around them. Like I don't even, it feels icky.
Well, because
it feels gross.
Because here's the thing. They change. And they get all loosey goosey and start to slur their words a little bit, and you don't.
I'm sorry.
And you don't. And so you did it mess up. I accidentally stepped on it. Sorry. And you don't start to slur your words. So you feel like, you know, everybody else is a little bit high and you're over here like not high. And so like I remember looking at like our friends Robert and Jamie who didn't drink and we're kind of the only ones that are just kind of like still in the zone.
And here's the thing. I'm not just talking like the Christians.
Oh, they're all Christians.
The Christians. Even the strong Christians that speak in tongues.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, like I can't. So it's not a judgment thing.
It's not judgment.
I just can't, I don't like it. And so Leah and I have made choices. Like I'm not going out. Here's the thing. I don't ever have to be around drunk people. Mm-hmm. Like I have a choice. I am an adult. I can walk away. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if people invite me out to dinner and they're going to be drinking and I can say, I'm sorry, I don't want to be around you. You're drinking. Like that's my choice.
Well,
I'm going to tell you this.
That's something we've had to make a decision.
We haven't done it in the past. I'm talking about now in the future.
Never walked away. Yeah.
I have made a choice.
I know.
As far as I can see I can't see myself in a situation where I would be agreeing in the future to have dinner or lunch or be in a social setting where people are drinking. I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't like to be around people that are drinking. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't like it. I don't like you when you're drinking. I like you when you're not. Mm-hmm. But I don't like you when you are. So I just, this woman at this, on this, like, I feel like alcohol gets served at places like this a lot so that they can
get you in compromising,
especially if you're talking about an embassy. So the idiocy of whether it's a Clay Clark event or whether it's the embassy, for you to ever go and put yourself in a position where you may do or say something that someone could use against you later on.
Not a smart thing.
You're not smart.
Yeah.
And these are all the people that you guys love as the doctors and the lawyers. They're not smart because they're putting themselves in a situation where they may do something or say something that they regret.
You know
and
what?
Someone could get it on camera and then use it against them. Like that's okay. It's just not smart. If you're going to drink alone.
So I actually want to bring up. I did
done.
Not,
right
I,
over.
I did not have this one up, Michelle. I don't know if you can bring up my Twitter, but now that you said that, Tucker did an interview with a guy Representative Tim Burchett. And let's see, this is the one you want to see. I'm going to try to find the one where he says that there's a lot of good clips here. He says that people go overseas. Try to find the clip here. And they get bribed, right?
Is it blackmail or bribed?
It's blackmail.
Right. So yeah. Bribing is different. The one that's sitting over here asking to be bribed. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking. You're not talking about bribing.
Here we go. Political blackmail. Here we go. Little clip here. Tim Burchett.
Are you going to retweet it?
I just did. Yeah.
Okay. Let me make sure I'm on the right screen here. There we go. All right. Let's see if he says the same thing that Michelle says. Probably. Because Michelle's so smart. Did not retweet. Are you in the right Twitter?
I am in. I'm in the Twitter. I'm in the new Twitter. I'm in the new Twitter.
You guys can follow us on the new Twitter, Resistance Chicks without the I. There we go.
You're sitting at a bar and they know what you're into, guys, gals, combination thereof, drugs, whatever. And they'll hook you up and you're thinking you're the stud. Your wife's away. Nobody will know, halfway around the world. You end up sleeping with somebody. Next day, you're flying back to America. You know, you're front row at the church. And then you're getting ready to make a key vote. And somebody comes up and whispers in your ear, hey, man, were you in a motel room with a girl in, you know, Istanbul or something? And he's like, oh, crap. He goes, man, we don't want that out. And he goes, no, we don't. We're not going to put that out. I said, if you can help us on this little bill, though. Now, that's the way they used to do it. And I'm not so certain they don't do that now.
Oh, my gosh, Leah, what a perfect clip for what Michelle is saying here.
I know.
My gosh, Cheryl says alcohol opens doors to demons. Well said. And Michael says alcohol destroys families. TM says highway accident stats show alcohol is the number one killer.
It really is.
Thank you. Over on Instagram, hey, Mark, he says, I have a 401k at work. They match 50% to my 4% per paid period. Since January, my holdings have nearly doubled. Each year in about February, I borrow about half of it and pay it back in a year. This year, digital currency is inevitable. As the standard, it will happen slowly and then all at once. I want to let y'all know the video image on Instagram is skewed. Oh, that's weird. I don't know what's going on with that. Define skewed. Is it that the camera is focusing more on the mic than it is on the, help me out on that one, Mike. Mark, I just said Mike twice. Okay, so I just want to, let's see. Gina says, spirits, yes. Honey potting.
Gina, exactly.
Spooky Mulder says, read Pirate Money. This is a donation. How does that work on, what is it called when you leave your little donation to have your comment read on Rumble? Mm. Is it just called a Rumble? I don't know.
What is it called on YouTube?
I have no idea, but thank you. It says, read Pirate Money by Kevin Freeman. It's about God's money, gold and silver. That's awesome.
Okay. Yes.
They also say, have you ever heard of Kevin Freeman and his book called Pirate Money? It's about gold and silver as money at the state level.
Oh, well said. That is where we need to be.
Earlier, Spooky Mulder says, Leah for president, or she should run for governor of Ohio first. You know, it's such a great idea. Although I would much rather see Neil Peterson as actual governor of Ohio. No offense to Leah. And this is a good point earlier from Spooky says, the reality is most of us don't have quick access to silver and gold. It's in an IRA. Mm. Then if you don't know how to keep that property, most will pay huge taxes on it when taking physical inventory. This is where I tell you guys to call Lynette Zhang. Mm-hmm. Go to resistancechicks.com/God's Money and talk to them for free, literally for free. Mm-hmm. That is what they specialize in. Right. They specialize in helping you go from that to physical gold and silver. So that's one of the reasons why we partnered with them, because that's, you know, you can go to all these other gold and silver companies just to buy gold and silver. But if you need somebody to walk you through how you do that, that's what Zhang Enterprises specializes in. Happier with Christ says, it makes me so angry when people use, well, Jesus drank wine and made wine and hung out with the drunkards. Exactly. He didn't keep them that way, though. He pulled them out of that debauchery. So very well said. Donna says, drinking alone isn't such a good idea either. That's a good point. Very good point. Barry says, Michelle, you're kind of right. Gold and silver and other precious metals are dug out of nature. Humans have made a fake world from houses, cars, money, etc. Real things aren't man-made. They are found in the natural world, not the man-made fakery. Well said. Thank you for that.
I actually have, as I'm bringing up my tabs, I have something on that, Barry, that you might find interesting and for you guys. The problem in today's financial system is too few have ever held real gold and silver bars. And we have some inside. I don't have a gold bar. Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay.
She's so funny. She's so funny. I could take the silver one and paint it. Put a little nail polish on it.
But even the silver bars do what I'm going to tell you.
She's so funny.
In their hand to feel. Here's the thing. We're not into the new agey energy type things. But why are we outside? Because there's energy. And that's
God.
I feel like new agey people have like taken the they've tried to take the term to feel the sheer energy and power of God's money course through your body. Knowledge doesn't come academically. Good. It must be felt and experienced. If you can go to a physical coin dealer, you'll feel like an autistic kid at a crystal shop. Hold a 1 kilogram gold bar to your heart and feel it pulsate, because it will there is a rhythm.
Come
that
on.
Will happen, because you have little specks of gold in your heart.
I know.
And your heart knows that it's there.
I know.
Okay. You won't settle for a paper gold or silver or fiat ever again. There is, God knew what he was doing when he made these particular coins to be in our pockets.
Yeah.
And so that we'd be holding them, because it's a grounding mechanism.
Yeah.
Our pool is still open. It is October 12th. I honestly have been wanting to get in all week for like a cold plunge, because when I get in, it does reset my system. I'm trying to see like how long can we keep it open. But just as like getting into like cold water does reset your system and kind of it removes some of the stress from your body. So does actual gold and silver.
Yeah.
And I think that that's another reason why we should wear, and we can't, or if we can wear gold or silver necklaces. Unfortunately, gold being so expensive.
Yeah.
I had this gold cross I used to love to wear, but I can't find a gold chain for it. That's yeah. not a gazillion dollars.
What do you think the wrappers all wear? My chain broke chains.
And I lost a chain. And then this,
so yeah, I have a purple, I think it's not a, I think it's amethyst flower that you guys see me wear all the time. And I wear a silver.
This is
chain
sil-
that
this
goes
is
with
silver.
It.
I just, and you guys probably see me wear this all the time. This is a silver one. But yeah. So, do you guys want to see, you need to see this one.
Oh boy.
Tell me when you have all my tabs.
Well, I have whatever you had me get up when you said to open it up. That's what I have.
Okay. I have something more then.
Yeah, I see that.
I have this one. So this is GOP conference chair, Representative Lisa McClain. Lisa McClain leaked the agenda of tomorrow's scheduled, and this was from a day or two ago, hearing in the Congressional Committee on Education and Workforce titled College Presidents. The chickens are making some weird noise.
Which one of these three is it?
That one.
This one?
Yeah. Okay. So she leaked the agenda of a meeting entitled College Presidents to Answer for Sources Inciting Anti-Semitism to the Embassy of Qatar.
Oh dear, is this her?
Yes. When she found out members would be discussing Qatar's funding of U.S. colleges and universities and the pro-Palestinian activities on campus. This is her this July 4th, where she actually hosted the Qataris on Independence Day on the Qatari rooftop. Why did Congressman Lisa McClain, who serves in the House GOP leadership as a conference chair, host a party for Qatar on July 4th at the Spy Museum? I thought it was at their embassy. It's not. So scratch that from your mind record. She hosted Qataris at our spy museum. They probably thought that was funny too. They're like, yeah. Here we are. We're totally hiding in plain sight with the boomer mom dancing all drunk and fancy free. Okay. So... And then her chief of staff, his name is Nick Hawatadeh. He's Jordanian. and Eric Kinney, her policy director, have taken numerous trips to Qatar. When I talk to you, Michelle, nobody gets up today and says, hey, would you like to go on a vacation or a trip to Qatar? Why are U.S. congresspeople and their chief of staff getting in an airplane and going to this little tiny place called Qatar? Okay. And why do they have so much money? Because we're driving around. They're gasoline, they're oil. Okay. So these are that are publicly disclosed on her staff's travel documents or FAR records and well documented on her social media. She said, Laura says, I've also obtained the memo that the Embassy of Qatar prepared and sent out to members of Congress after they were tipped off by Lisa McClain and her staff. Sources on the Hill say that her pro-Qatar office leaked the Education and Workforce Committee memo on anti-Semitism on college campuses to Qatar before the hearing this week so that Qataris would have the questions ahead of time so that they could push back on the committee with Qatari talking points. And there she is dancing with the Qataris. And she's this little boomer mom, was hammered drunk, and the says that she was falling all over her staff very inappropriately.
Chris says, how embarrassed is her family?
Money, money, money.
They're probably like, hey,
money. Mom bringing in the money.
Go ahead, Mom. It don't matter.
It don't matter. I would be embarrassed. Normal people would be embarrassed, right?
Barry says, I've held gold bars, silver bars, platinum bars, and of course, my work, and it made me feel like I wanted to do a runner.
What does that mean?
A like runner? Take a run?
Like go.
You get excited? Do you got energy? Is that what you're.
Or do you mean like go rob something? So yesterday, I say this, it's so funny.
If I tell you this story, I have to admit to something. I don't want to have to do that. You admitted to something bad the other day, so I'll admit to mine. So,
I don't like where this is going.
Yesterday, I built a bee shed.
Oh, okay.
I just touched the mic. Jeez, oh my gosh. Are we still good? Yesterday, I built a bee shed. I'm going to show you the picture. Wait, hang on.
Oh, and by the way, while you're doing that,
I think we're back. Wait, let me check.
Okay. Speaking of Qatar, the U.S. Education Secretary William Bennett just registered as a foreign agent for Qatar. He's being paid $30,000 a month to convince Americans that Qatari universities don't support Islamic extremism. That's a pretty penny.
That's not a small amount.
No, and he's the U.S. Education Secretary, and he has registered as a foreign agent for Qatar.
Yeah.
So this whole idea that it's just Israel, Israel, Israel is, guys, we have to be smart about it. We have to look at all the angles.
Yeah.
I understand that the Qataris would like us to point to Israel and the Israelis would like us to point to the Qataris. And I think it's really best to go, boom.
They went this way.
Let's like Qatar, Israel. You're trying to influence. How about we just cut it out?
Raise your hand if you got the Willow reference that I made there. Okay, so I built a bee shed yesterday. A little lean-to. I'm going to do a video on it, but I'll show you the after what it looks like. I'm super excited about it because it's going to house my all of my extra bee boxes, which is they're taking up way too much space where they are at. So here is the completed project. You can kind of see that. Well, sort of, kind of. There it is. It's had a roof and everything. So I was like tired, and I was actually really tired. I was inordinately tired. I took a nap at like 10 o'clock, no, 9:30 at night for like 30 minutes because I was just so exhausted. And I woke up sore. So apparently I was working harder than I thought yesterday. But anyway, Leah gives me a hard time. She says, Michelle, you always find a reason to reward yourself with a soda pop when you've done something. And I had. So Uncle Jack has a little mini refrigerator in his room for his pop. And he keeps cans of pop in there. So I went in there yesterday and I pulled a Coke out and I walked away. And I said, I'm robbing you. And he goes, good, because I thought you were stealing. And I was like, right, because robbing and stealing are different. And he's like, totally, because if you steal something, you don't tell people. But if you rob, then you can, then you're
then you're saying I'm robbing you. Like you go and rob a bank, right? Like a robber, which I thought that was hilarious and awesome. And it was a really fun exchange that Uncle Jack and I had yesterday. Now, Barry says it means to take them with you. So I was right.
Oh.
Not go take a run. You silly. Do a runner. Like take them and run. Like I said, we were at the Mustard Seed Market and I'm holding this little wiener dog in my arms. And my neighbor was there. And I said to her, I said, Terry, what would happen if I just took off running with this little dog? Like, I was like, I could keep this little dog. It was the cutest little puppy ever. KO4 says they take office as working class people and leave office as millionaires.
So I'm not going to show you this video. No.
Okay.
But today or yesterday, somebody broke into St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican.
What for?
Pulled his pants down and peed on the altar. And they try to pull him away while it's peeing.
Wait. Was there something? I feel like that didn't just happen because I saw that a while ago.
No, this just happened.
That's when somebody just posted it, but I think
no,
it
this
happened.
Just happened.
So this was just the second time that something like that happened.
Yes.
With all this running around, something is going to crash, like that. I don't know. Anyway, so hang on a second. Was there a service happening at the time? Are there people in the, looks like there's people in the congregation.
Yeah, there was like the service happening.
Okay, I want to read some comments over on Resistance Chicks Rumble, or excuse me, YouTube that I missed from earlier. Alex says, people can still be living in England and pay cash. Does that mean that the police are going to approach every single human being that's walking around? No. Pretty much every adult in England has a driver's license and some sort of identification to get welfare or a bank account or a driver's license. So what do you want to add another identification for? Very well said. Ballistic Mystic says, sometimes my dogs need my help so they can be happy with each other. I took a break from drinking years ago and I still haven't had a drink for years.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing. Ballistic Mystic. Native Michigan, I don't even know what that last word is, says, yep, I do the same thing when there's drinking. I walk away. A bottle of what spirit is the question to them? Oh, that's a good point. So I know it's hard to do the comments delayed from the topics, but I still like to get to them. So I don't know what the dogs are like going crazy. James says, that's about the size of it. Most of them are crooks. Very well said.
Hey, everybody.
Augie. Like, it would be a way more fun show if I had a camera down at dog level and then I could occasionally just pan.
All right, so let's go into this major crypto crash, Michelle, a little bit deeper. I just tweeted out one video here. I've been having a hard time finding videos from people who aren't just like, stay calm and crypto on. Okay, let's break it down about what happened, people, man. People been wiped out. Money, $1 billion. They're thinking like $30 billion wiped out.
Stop
like
it.
Gone somewhere. Where did it go, honey child? I needs to know. You just don't be like, so here's the thing about physical gold and silver, right? If I have it right here, it just doesn't like vanish, right?
But crypto can just vanish.
It can just vanish. And so can the stock market, right? It just vanishes.
All right, so I don't know what this picture is.
You need to just go to my Twitter.
Just go to Twitter.
Just go to the X. I hated calling X. I like it. Pick a different letter.
Okay, you want me to start with this one?
You can see Augie.
Yesterday was a historically bad day for crypto traders. There was $19 billion in liquidation over a 24-hour period. To put that into context, COVID crash, there was $1 billion in liquidations.
Wow.
FTX crash, $1.6 billion in liquidations.
Oh my God.
Yesterday, $19.31 billion in liquidations. Here's a look at some wallets. You will see behind me, there were multiple with over $15 million lost in a 24-hour span. Now, crypto didn't go to zero. Bitcoin, Ethereum did have a tough 24 hours. But they were only down 10, 15% at max. But a lot of crypto traders trade on leverage and with meme coins and with very risky assets. This guy behind me, I have a friend that was close to $30 million net worth, almost a decade in crypto. Lost the whole $30 million yesterday in 10 minutes on cross margins. An entire decade of multiple generations, he could have retired, all gone in 10 minutes. Now, trolling is common in the crypto community, but it didn't seem like it was happening yesterday. We have to take this guy's word, but he said that he lost $15 million lost He was invested in something called Sui, and he said this industry is a scam. Goodbye forever. I'm liquidated totally. $802,000 lost. Bye-bye, Twitter. There were some very scary tweets, too. People that seemingly lost everything, all of their money, mentally, you know, really in dark places. I have chosen not to share those, but there were a lot of those on Twitter I saw. But what's crazy is yesterday, 30 minutes before Trump's tariff announcement, an individual opened a Hyperliquid account, a place that you can short Bitcoin or long it, you know, and closed with an $88 million profit. The insider who opened his trade 30 minutes.
He shorted Bitcoin. He betted that Bitcoin was going to drop. That's how he made money.
Meaning there was inside information that he had.
Yeah. A lot. And he made $88 million.
Because it's not just a bet, though, because it has to be inside information. Because you could say, okay, somebody, we looked at what Trump did. And we were like, dude, this is going to be bad. Somebody might have gone, okay, this is going to be really bad for crypto, and then made it. But to
if crypto had gone up, he would be out money.
Right, exactly. It has to be inside
info. It's a bet is what it is.
Before the Trump tariffs closed his trades for $192 million in profits. And then he withdrew everything from Hyperliquid. Now, this could possibly just be good timing, but let's call a spade a spade. And of course, Jim Cramer told us to buy crypto just a few days ago. And automatic drop. The crypto trenches are dangerous, especially when you're trading on margin, cross margin, all of that. And we saw it yesterday. And if you are involved in that, please be careful. It can just go like that. Like it's the ultimate casino. And also remember, there's more to life than just numbers on a screen.
All right, so I'm going to read some of these. This week, the crypto market experienced its largest single-day liquidation event in history on October 10th. Now, remember, Michelle, what kind of season are we in right now?
Darkness, Halloween,
Rosh Hashanah.
Oh,
Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and now the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes. Okay? So, okay. I didn't
Spiritually, I will tell you that big crashes have always happened during this time.
100%.
Okay. So the temple was destroyed both times during this time.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Kahn, for all of his kind of wacko things out there, and don't mean to offend you, brother, he has this thing called the Shemitahs, right?
Yeah.
And these, it's this time where crazy things happen. And the stock market crashed in 2008 during this time. And the temple was destroyed during this time. There was another stock market crash. I have to go back and remember them all. But my point being is that Michelle said to me the other day, I don't know if you remember saying it, Michelle, you were like, something's going to happen again. It's the stars have aligned. The Jewish calendar is aligned. God's calendar has aligned.
But yeah.
Well, yeah. It says that God tells us the times and seasons and the stars. Right. I don't mean
like a,
do we have to,
I
feel like a joke is not funny if you have to explain it, but things have aligned. During this time, we kind of felt like something, and it does always tend to be like financial. When it does happen, so Bitcoin dropped over 10% to below 110,000. Ethereum fell 16%. All coins like Solana and XPR plummeted 20-30%, wiping out $19 billion in leveraged positions. While most traders suffered massive losses, a few savvy, for suspiciously timed short sellers cashed in big. So I have a breakdown here from Grok. So Hyperliquid Whale that was the entity that he goes by. He was Hyperliquid means perpetual futures. His key trade deal was he shorted 1.1 billion in Bitcoin and Ethereum starting October 9th, doubled down 30 minutes before Trump's October 10th announcement, closed 90% of Bitcoin shorts and all Ethereum shorts post-crash, meaning he cashed out, and his wallet traced to a 2011 error holder with 86,000 Bitcoin history, estimated profit $190 to $200 million. Largest reported win raised insider trading suspicions due to timing, withdrew most funds immediately after. Community calls for investigation, including from pro crypto attorney John Deaton. Now, here's the thing about the crypto people. If you're a real crypto person, or if you're the crypto people, it's hold. But there are people who they want you to hold.
Yeah.
So that they can get their money out
right.
when they short it and it's going down and it's betting on it's going down. That's Archie. Yeah. Anonymous Bitcoin short trader.
Archie.
He opened a massive Bitcoin short.
Archie.
Come here, bud. He opened a massive Bitcoin short 30 minutes before the tariff announcement on October 10th. The amount created the same day closed the position amid a $19 billion liquidation wave, and he made $88 million. So these guys are looking, they're shorting, they're walking away. But here's the thing. I don't know who in the world had how, if you shorted $1.1 billion, that seems to me like that's got to be some sort of government. Because you got to.
No, put up or shut up. People that have that kind of money,
but it's
not the average person.
Not a lot of people can have $1 billion.
Yeah,
probably can name them on a few. Yeah,
but here's the thing.
Gonna say it's communist China.
But I'm gonna predict nothing will happen. Nothing will come of it. No one's gonna be held responsible. Okay, Sam Bankman-Fried. Okay, he got a slap on the wrist and he went to jail. Right? His parents didn't. And they, who knows how much they were in bed in that whole situation. I don't know if you guys can hear that. That guy's GPS is on his speaker on his motorcycle. And so everybody heard that he's making a turn at the corner where we live. That's just so funny.
Okay. All right, you guys, if you want to watch the rest of this episode, you can do so by visiting us at resistancechicks.com. And trust me, you do want to watch the rest. But speaking of watching, thank you so much for tuning in to Resistance Chicks right here on Faith and Freedom TV. We're so proud to be a part of this network. And don't forget, you can shop at shop.resistancechicks.com and use promo code B2T at the checkout.